Hey friends, welcome to the St. Mark City podcast. We pray that you are blessed and challenged as you listen to this message. God bless you.
Thank you, thank you. Just for clarity, I'm not on the big bucks. Just for clarity. Just letting you know. Hey, good to see everyone. It was my birthday this week. I'm not telling you how old I am, but I'll tell you, this is how you'll maybe guess. When Lauren asked me what did I want for my birthday, I said, peace and quiet. I just want to read a chapter of a book without an interruption, and I want to drink an entire coffee while it's hot. That's it. That's all I want for my birthday. And had a great time away, but thrilled to be here today. And it's exciting. It's an exciting Sunday. Exciting all what the Lord is doing, and we are thrilled. I am going to continue us this morning in the series that we kicked off, Selfless. And what does it look like in 2024 to live a selfless life? It feels countercultural. It feels like, is it possible to live a life that not only puts Jesus first, but would put everybody else first also? Like, is that even attainable to us? And today I want to chat through a topic that might touch some nerves in the room, but I promise you that if we could engage and lean into the scriptures and what the Lord might want to say, I honestly think it could change our lives. I've seen people's lives transformed just through embracing what the Lord is saying around this topic today. And today I want to chat about the idea of selfless forgiveness. Selfless forgiveness. And forgiveness is difficult for us, not always to receive. Like, we kind of love, like, that I would receive it, like, that the Lord would forgive me. Like, I love it. I love when somebody would forgive me when I know I've made a mistake. Like, we love to be forgiven, and we love that God forgives us. We have no issue a lot of the time embracing it when it comes our direction. The difficulty for most of us comes when I actually have to extend it to somebody else. When it comes this way, great. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for forgiving me. But whenever I have to extend it to somebody else, that's a little bit more difficult. And I actually really feel like forgiveness is pivotal to us, not just as Christians, but like as human beings, it's pivotal to us because psychologists will tell us about the impact it will have on you emotionally, mentally, even physically. At times, people can have physical ailments, and then when they forgive someone and actually step into forgiveness, that it would leave them and they would get better. Like, it affects all, it affects our like whole being. And I think it's a huge component that's missing in today's culture. We don't hear a lot about it because we live in an age of counseling people. You've made a mistake, you're done. We have little grace for people that have made any sort of mistake, whether big or small. Like, we sometimes throw the baby out with the bathwater. Like, it's like, you've made a little mistake, and so I'm done with you. And everything that you have ever said or done, I'm done with it. And we struggle in the world today because this is the culture that we live in. But I feel like an understanding, and not just an understanding, but an embracing of forgiveness, because we don't want to just be hearers of the word. We want to be doers of the word also. I think only when we embrace it, then we'll be able to move forward in our lives. I think until we fully learn how to embrace it, then we might find ourselves a little bit stuck. And so I wanted to chat through a story in the Bible, because here's what happens sometimes. I, by virtue of my job, end up chatting with people sometimes about stuff that's going on in their lives. And a lot of the time when we chat and we get into it, and whatever the issue is, see, when we dig far enough in, so a lot of the time we'll just find, here, you need to forgive that person. You need to forgive that person. And maybe it didn't start where the conversation started, but as we've navigated our way through, we've found the root of this is you have let unforgiveness sit in your heart for too long. And so I want to look through a story today and what it might mean. It's a story that Jesus taught us in Matthew 18. The verses should come up on the screen. It says, then Peter came to him, to Jesus, and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Like, seven times? No, not seven times, Jesus replied, but 70 times, seven times. Then he says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. And in the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. and he couldn't pay. And so this master ordered that he be sold along with his wife and his children and everything he owned to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, please be patient with me. I will pay it all. And then his master was filled with pity for him and he released him and he forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few $1,000s and he grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. And his fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. Be patient with me and I will pay it, he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. And when some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset and they went to the king and told him everything that had happened. And then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? And then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he'd paid his entire debt. And that's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. It's a difficult passage. It was difficult on the day that Jesus said it. It's difficult to read it today. And it's difficult for lots of reasons, but here's the main reason why I think it's difficult for us today. We just don't like what it says. We just don't like what it teaches. I just don't like what it tells me that I have to do. Jesus comes and says, or Peter comes to Jesus and says, how many times should I forgive someone? Like seven times. And when Peter says this to Jesus, he's not like, ancient Jewish tradition would have been that you would forgive someone three times for the same offense, like three times. And so Peter's saying like, so you're saying I should like double it and then more? Like, he said, should it be seven times that I forgive? And then Jesus, like Peter thinks he's being generous with the amount of forgiveness that he would offer somebody in this moment. Like he's looking at the generosity of Jesus and saying, well, is this how much we should forgive someone that wrongs me and offends me? And then Jesus comes back with an answer and it's not a prescriptive answer. You're not supposed to put like a tally on your wall and say, like start counting it down until the last one and say, right, we're done. Like we're done. Look at the wall. Look at how many times I forgive you. Like that's it, we're done. It's not a prescription that he's given us for, he's just challenging our view on it. He's challenging what you might think about it. He's saying, no, stop. Don't be putting a number on this thing. That's not what we're doing here. Like How do you think that you're going to be able to add this up? How many times you could forgive someone? And then he goes on to paint the picture. It's funny, he doesn't wait on Peter's response. He just says it, and then he starts to paint this picture. And he paints this picture, and we're introduced to two people. We're introduced initially to a king, and then we're introduced to a servant who owed a great debt to this king, like a debt that he could not pay. He could not pay it, and the person begs for forgiveness from the king, and the king forgives him. Out of his mercy and out of his goodness, he forgives the servant. And then we find the servant walking out, debt is paid, spring in his step, like, oh my goodness, like I've just, like my debt is gone. Like I am free. Like he's thinking about, oh my goodness, what can I do with what I've got? Like my money. Like he's walking in this freedom that he's got now with a spring in his step. And then he comes across someone who owes him a few thousand. Like in comparison to what he already is all of this freedom because he's just been let go of this huge debt. And now he thinks he's going to add to that by getting what you owe me from you. And it isn't even just like this little altercation. It says he takes him by the throat and he's like, no, you owe me. And then he puts him into prison, the person who owes him a much lesser debt. The question, I don't know if you caught it, like the statement is the same. What he asked the king for and what was asked from him was exactly the same thing. But the king said yes and he said no. And he doesn't show him any mercy and he sends him where the king was trying to send him. In the first place, like the king saves him from slavery and now he sends this person into it in order to pay what it is that he is owed. And we could be up in arms, like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Like, is he mad? You have just been forgiven of millions and now you're trying to get thousands back. Like, what are you doing? Like, we're looking at him going, is this, the king's just forgiven you this huge debt and saved you from a life of slavery. And now you're trying to put a debt on somebody else. and put them into slavery over something much less significant. And we can be up in arms, but let's be honest. We do it. We can do it. It actually feels kind of like our nature to do it with other people. Because this entire parable, the reason that it's uncomfortable is that it shows us how we tend to act and react to certain people and to certain situations. We're supposed to be challenged. We're supposed to see how we are in these stories and in these parables. And here's where I think the issue lies in forgiveness and extending forgiveness. Not in receiving it. You better believe he received that from the king that day, no problem. Like, he's out of there before the king changes his mind. He is out of there. It's like somebody's dropped money in his bank and he's taking it all out in case somebody finds it. It's like, I am out of here. Before the king says another word, I am gone and I am taking all the king gave me. Like, he had no, we didn't see any issue in him receiving the mercy from the king. He actually received more than he asked for. He asked for time to pay it, but he didn't, that's not what he got from the king. He got it forgiven. And so he had no issue receiving it. He had an issue extending it. And I think the issue that we have extending it is we've forgotten where we were. We've forgotten where we were. We've forgotten who we are. And we have forgotten the debt that we have been forgiven. I feel like we run this very real risk. I feel like this story lies in two parts. And I feel like we run this very real risk of living in the second part. Just living there. Like, our whole story running from the fact that I have just come across someone who owes me something. And we've forgotten the first part of the story. The servant in the story forgot that the only reason he was there and able to place that demand on this other servant is because just before that, the king let him go. Otherwise, he wouldn't have come across the path of this guy. He wouldn't have seen this guy. He wouldn't have had the interaction with this guy. And the only reason he has all of that is because the king just before that has let him loose. And let him go. He was on his way to slavery. He was on his way to a life that was no longer his own. He had nothing until the king stepped in and offered him freedom. And he's forgot. I told you this before. Maybe don't listen, but that's okay. I told you this before. I really struggled for a while with stuff that the Bible like demands of me. Like, in that, like, the Bible would tell me to love people. And I'd be like, I don't feel like loving them. I don't feel like that. Like, the Bible tells me to forgive people. I mean, I don't feel like forgiving them. They haven't earned it. I used to be like, God, I can't control how I feel. Like, you're telling me to love them, and when I see them, like, I don't feel it. I feel the opposite. But here's what I've come to realize. You see, in your life, if what you're thinking and feeling in your life conflicts with the Bible, one of the two things is wrong, and it's not the Bible. And so if the Bible tells you forgive or love, then this isn't about how you feel, and it's not about how I feel. Loving someone has nothing to do with them, actually. I'm choosing it. I am choosing it. And forgiving people has actually nothing to do with them. I'm choosing it. I'm choosing it. Now, reconciliation is different because reconciliation will require some level of an apology and some level of a conversation and some acknowledgement of wrong being done or hurt being, like reconciliation is a bit more of a process that requires two parties to come to some sort of an agreement of how we're going to get through this and move on from this. Like, it requires some level of work, a sit down, a talk, an acknowledgement, and the decision to move on. But forgiveness is a choice that I'll make. And you might never even know. I seen this picture once when I was in Bible college. Somebody had used it in a presentation and it just said forgiveness. Or unforgiveness, sorry. And it was a picture of this big wide open window. And in the windowsill was a bird in a cage. It says you can smell the air. You can feel the wind. Like, feels free. But you better believe he's not flying anywhere. He's not going anywhere. He's in a cage. His freedom's an illusion. He doesn't really know. And honestly, that is unforgiveness for us. That's what it is, and that's what it does. You're free, but you're not free. It's unforgiveness is I have found myself here. I have found myself in a prison cell, and the door is locked, and there's no guards, and there's no walls, just me in this cage, and the cage is locked. And when I pop my pockets, I realize that the only person that has the key is me. The only way I'm getting out is this key, but it's here with me. And the only person that's stopping me leaving this cage is me. I'm stuck until I decide to put the key in the lock and open the door and walk out. Freedom is at the other side of this. But I don't feel like forgiving them. And so I just put it back in my pocket and I sit there. And I stay within the cage. I'm locked in. And here's the kicker. The person that you feel like you need to forgive is outside the cage living their life. They're not stuck. It's you. It's me. They're not stuck. We're harboring this unforgiveness and they're out there living their life oblivious to it. And that will make it difficult for you to put the key in the door and walk out. The person that you are harboring unforgiveness towards might keep doing it again. Because remember, it doesn't even require a conversation. It's a decision that I'm going to make. And they might keep doing it again and again and again and again. And you know what that means? I have to keep forgiving them again and again and again and again and keep choosing it time and time and time again. And that's difficult. That's difficult. But ironically, extending forgiveness towards them was never for them. It's for me. It's for me. It's not actually for them. It's for you. It's to get you out of your prison. It's to get the poison out of you. It's to dig up the resentment and the bitterness that's eating you up out of you so you can heal and you can move on. I have never met a person who is harboring forgiveness and living in freedom at the same time. Never. I've met a lot of people. And I can tell, I've never met someone who's doing both at the exact same time. I've never met a person who at the very same time is living in offense and freedom. Because the two things can't coexist. They can't coexist. And listen, like, I am not saying, in me saying forgive them, I am in no way trying to play down what anybody might have done to you or what anybody might have said to you. And I am by no means saying that it's not difficult. I have walked this road and I continually have moments where I have to walk this road. I'm by no means saying that it's not hard. I'm not even telling you to forgive and forget. Because actually what I do is I forgive and I don't hold offense, but I remember that this happens. And then I'm able to guard my heart better. I'm not saying forgive and forget. And some of you have been really hurt. And some of you have been really wronged. Some of you are still in the middle of it. And I'm so sorry that you're there. I'm so sorry that you had to feel that. I'm so sorry that you had to hear that. I'm so sorry that that happened to you. And I'm so sorry that you're hurting. But hear me today, until we choose to forgive someone, to selflessly forgive someone, to selflessly put aside our desire for revenge or for them to get theirs or for them to get what's coming to them, for them to reap what they sow. Like, until I learn how to put all of that to the side and let go, it will continue to eat us up. Continue to eat us up. Because until we learn how to forgive, we're stuck. We're just stuck. I'm just stuck in the middle of it. And I don't want you to be stuck in the hurt for any longer than you need to be. I don't want it for you. I don't want it for you. And I don't mean, like, when I talk about forgiveness, I don't mean like, all right, I forgive them. Like, I did youth work for a long, long time, and then two teenagers have fell out, and you're like, right, both of you over here, say sorry. Sorry. Do you forgive them? Yes. Like, and you know full well, this is gonna bubble up again here in 5 minutes. Like, I don't mean like the, oh, okay, right, I'm sorry, okay, can I go out now? Like, I don't mean that kind of like forgiveness that's just like wordplay to forgiveness. Because what does the verses actually say? I don't know if verse 35 can come back up. It says, that's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. Not from my mind, not from my lips, but unless I can choose to forgive them from my heart. That's what makes me, like, that's what seals it for us, like, that it's not really about the other person, because you don't really know what goes on in here. I have to decide, like, from my heart, from my source, like, from my innermost being, like, that I will selflessly extend forgiveness to you, even if I don't want to, just because the Bible asks me to. And I wrestled with these verses for so long, because there's a whole other side to this that I really struggled with. I still struggle with, especially when I'm feeling it. Because let's pay attention. There's a couple of verses I want to look at. In verse 35, we just read it. What does it say? That's what my heavenly Father will do to you. Like, Lord, can we just lift verse 35 out of the Bible and just move on? But that's what my heavenly Father will do to you. It seems that what I receive from God is directly affected by what I'll give other people. What I'll extend to you affects what I'll receive from him. There's some sort of correlation here that we don't fully get and we can't fully understand. It's like God is extending me forgiveness, and what I receive from him and what I give to you are linked somehow. Colossians 3 says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. What do we pray in the Lord's Prayer or the Our Father? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Jesus said earlier in Matthew 5, if you're presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and suddenly you remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar, go and be reconciled to that person, and then come and offer your sacrifice to God. The sacrifice was this moment of intimacy, of worship, of forgiveness, where I'm going to ask the Lord for forgiveness. And he's saying, if you remember that you have an issue over there, go fix that, then come back and do this, because the two things are linked. We used to have this line that we said, I think I've said it here once before, my community affects my communion. How I am with you affects how I am with him. Sacrifice is pointless. Like, why are you asking the Lord for something here in this moment that I wouldn't extend to somebody else in a moment? Matthew 6 says, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, then your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Like, these are, like, Lord, lift verse 35 out if you want, but here's it again and again and again and again. Ephesians 4, Mark 11, Luke 6, time and time again, forgiving others is connected to my being forgiven. Like, it's important that we don't just gloss over it and we take some time and lean into it. And here's what I wonder. I wonder if what you've been praying for and contending for, I wonder if what you're pleading with the Lord for isn't actually being held back by the Lord, but it's being held back by you. Like, if I would just take the key out and open the door and step out of this prison that I've built for myself, then maybe I would step into all that the Lord is trying to give me. I'm praying for the Lord for a breakthrough, and he's like, it's outside of this, Darren. I'm praying for the Lord to do something, it's outside of this, Darren. And the only person that has the key is me. Is me. I fear that if I'm choosing unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment, I can be choosing that over the fullness and the freedom that the Lord is trying to step us into. It's forgiveness. Forgiveness. But Darren, you don't know what they did. I don't. I have no idea. But Darren, you don't know what they said about me. I don't. I have no idea. Darren, how can I forgive them? They just keep on doing it and doing it and doing it. And it's hard. It is. It's difficult. And it's tough for sure. Darren, you don't know how much it hurt. I don't. And I don't want to play any of it down. It was real and it happened and it hurt. Maybe you're in that place of unforgiveness today. And again, I'm so sorry that you're hurting. I don't want that for you. And the Lord doesn't want that for you. I'm so sorry for all that's happened to you and for all that you've carried. But could you hear me today when I'm pleading with you? Please forgive them. Please forgive them. Please take the key out and open the door and step into all it is that the Lord would have for you. Like, please forgive them. And ask the band to come and join me. Maybe today, you, like me, are wrestling. I don't know if I can. Like, I just don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can. Maybe even the picture of the person in your mind, like, it's just stirring some emotion up inside of you, like it's hurting. I know. I've been there. I've been in that space where I felt it like that, that even the thought of someone. But if you're there today where you're saying, I don't know if I can do it, can I just take you back to the first part of the story? Can we just go there for a minute? Can you remember today where he found you? Can you remember the debt that you owed? Can you remember the weight of your own sin? And you didn't know how to get out of it. And you didn't know how to get rid of it. And you didn't know what to do. Can you remember the feeling of being stuck with no way out? And despite how much we sinned and how much we offended him, despite knowing that forgiving us would cause the death of his only son in the most horrific circumstances, I pleaded with him and he forgave me. He forgave me. He erased my debt. Ephesians 1:7 says, he is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave us our sin. Psalm 32:1 says, oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, for those whose sin is put out of sight. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us from our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Psalm 103:12 says, he has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. And now I stand a free man. Not because I earned it, but because of the goodness of the King. Not because I earned it. My debt was paid, not because I could pay it, but because he paid it. My debt was paid because he's good. I couldn't have paid it in 1,000 lifetimes. I couldn't have ever paid it. I couldn't have got myself out of it. But I still make mistakes all of the time, and again and again and again and again. He forgives me. He hung upon a cross and he cries out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. In the middle of it. In the middle of it, while they're still doing it, he extends forgiveness to them. And if we can remember that today, if we can remember that today, it still might be difficult and it still might hurt. But with all of that in mind, I step up to him and I say, thank you that you forgave me. Now help me forgive them. Help me forgive them. The Lord doesn't want you stuck in unforgiveness, and he will help you. He will help you. He will help you put the key in the lock and step out into the fullness and the freedom that He has for you. And so let me pray for you. Jesus, I pray today that you would help us to remember where we were when you found us. Jesus, I pray you would help us remember today that interaction where we called upon the name of the Lord and we were saved. Jesus, help us to remember the debt that we owed and the debt that you paid and what it cost you to do it. Jesus, help us to remember today how you forgive us time and time and time again. And Jesus, I pray for every one of us that you would highlight any unforgiveness that is in our hearts. Jesus, for some of us, it's so deep and we don't even know that it's still there, but it's affecting everything. And so, Jesus, I pray that today that you would bring it up to the surface and let us see it. And that you would give us the grace and the courage to put the key in the lock and step out of the prison that we found ourselves in. Help us to not just be receivers of forgiveness, but people that know how to give and extend forgiveness to other people. Jesus, I thank you that it was for freedom that you set us free. And so, Jesus, I pray you'd help us to walk fully in it. In a world of unforgiveness, help us to be people that are quick to forgive, because that's what you are like. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Can we stand together? The band's going to lead us in worship.
We hope that you've been blessed by this message. If you would like to connect further with St. Mark's City, go to stmarks.ie. Have an incredible day. God bless you.